We're starting a new series today, and if you're visiting us for the first time or you're watching us online for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. And we are going to talk about what we believe and as a church, and we're starting off with the family concept, and I want to start off by almost sharing a testimony. Just of God's goodness, of family that gathers around you. So I want to say this, that for those who are without dads this morning, I represent you this morning, yeah. Because I lost both my dad and my stepdad a couple of years ago, but I want to say you're not alone. And that Father God is our dad. And he comes and fills those spaces miraculously in ways that I never even thought or imagined. So I want to say to you, you're not alone this morning. And then second of all, this week, we lost my mother-in-law due to cancer. But you know what was amazing is to see how family pulls together. You know, how my wife and her family just were there, were able to say goodbye to her, and then also our spiritual family that just came and dropped off food and messages and support, and I want to thank everybody for that. And I don't say that to get any sympathy or anything like that from you this morning, but it's just to testify of God's goodness. And when you belong in a family, that you're not alone, and then when your tough times come, that you have a place that you belong to, where you have relationship and where people pull around you when times are tough or just interesting. So I trust that ministers to people this morning. But what is family this morning for us? We're a spiritual family, and God says in Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 20, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers or foreigners. And he's talking about us. He says, you are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundations of apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. So, a lot of the times in family, we attend church, but still feel alone. Sometimes we sit in rows and pews, but we long for relationship, that connection. We hear sermons, but it only holds you so far. But then there comes a hunger and a desire to belong to a group of people, a community of people that you can reach out to when you want to, when you need some prayer, when you want to connect and say, you know what, trust with me for this, or walk with me with this. I'm struggling in this area, or you know, I'm trusting God, have faith with me, because you know, two is always better than one. And so it's important for us to know this morning that that the gospel is giving us through the scripture an invitation, not just just to believe in Jesus, but to belong to his family. And when we belong to his family, yes, there's the greater body of Christ, but then there's the local church that is here. And if you're visiting us, it's wonderful that you are here, and please keep on visiting until you feel comfortable and at home. But this morning, I wanna say to all of us, and even we might sit here, and we've been a part of Oak Hill maybe for a long time, but you still feel like a visitor. That God wants you to move in your heart to a place where you belong and are planted. Psalm 1 says it very nice, says, blessed is the man who is planted in the house of the Lord, is like a tree next to the river. And so maybe Oak Hill is not the place for you, but there's many other amazing churches in this area that also have great families. But as long as you are planted into a space where you can grow, where you can build relationship, where you can have those type of trust relationships around you that that can support you and love you and also challenge you to grow and make you better. And that's the uncomfortable part of all families, physical and spiritual. But it's not we always think about when iron sharpens iron, it's a negative thing, but it's actually such a great strength because it actually brings out the best in you and gets rid of the worst. Okay? So, yeah, this morning, it's not casual language that I want to use this morning. It's very intentional because, you know, God doesn't just want to visit you in your life. He wants to dwell with you in your life. And He wants to be your dad. He wants to remind you that you have a family. And that when you accepted Him, He adopted you as a son and a daughter in his family and in His house. And then we get connected. So this merely reminds us this morning that, you know, we belong to a community of people we are cared for, where we can grow alongside. So church is a family, the Bible says. We are adopted as sons and daughters who belong to God and to one another. And then church is also a flock. Okay? The Bible often refers us to as sheep, John 10. Verse 10, my sheep hear my voice, okay? And then, and that we are under the care and the leadership of Jesus Christ, because He's the head of the church. Amen? Okay, so as much as we honor dads and we honor leaders, I'm going to say it. Spiritual fathers are amazing. But that thing's gone way south and unhealthy over the past couple of years. Where, and I say with a lot of humility and a lot of boldness as well, because I've been under it, but it went to a place of abuse, and we don't want that unhealthiness to be in the space. So what we want is that we have people that mentor and play such an important role in your life that has some sort of father figure role. But God remains your father. Amen? Because I don't have sons that I raise. I come out of that era. But it was unhealthy. But the healthy version is that we are sons and daughters of God. And that we serve a loving father, but we have mentors in our lives that play such a fatherly role. Okay? So let's just get the language right. Then we're in a fellowship where we share life, faith, prayer, meals, mission, and spiritual growth together. Okay? So let's unpack first the family part of church. Salvation brings us into a place of belonging. So that's where we shift from being lonely and outside, okay, into a place where we're in the inner part and inner working and core of what God wants to do. So Ephesians says there that we're not strangers anymore, but we are members of God's family. So it's important that we realize that God doesn't just save you. Psalms 68 verse 6 says, God places the lonely in families. We don't have to. You see, we can sit here for year in and year out and still feel lonely. We can still not feel connected. We feel actually disconnected. But God's call for us is to just to become connected because you are part of His household. You are part of His family. And why it's important for us to be part of a local church is that when things happen in your life, like a loss or whatever, that we have people that can minister you and care for you and help you in your time of need, as an example. But then everybody sometimes has the great, and you've heard it a lot before, And it's a great example, but you know, when you have loss and you belong to the universal body of Christ, is the universal pastor going to come and pray for you? No. Stephen Furtick's not going to send you email, okay? Just putting it out there. I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. Galatians 3:26-28 says, "We are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism, we have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer a Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all in Christ Jesus. And know that you belong to Christ. You are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs and God's promise to Abraham that belongs to you." And you know what? That talks really just about how we belong to God's household. But what do we struggle with? Why can't we connect at times? And I struggled a long time with this. And this is something that we don't touch. We touch on it often, but we need to touch on it this morning, is that a lot of the times we do feel like orphans. Sometimes we do feel alone. Outside, rejected. We don't feel like we can connect. We don't, it's not a label that we put on people that's saying that you're struggling with an orphan spirit. It's God's way of lovingly diagnosing where you are. And he says, "That's not my heart for you." He says, "You've accepted me as your savior. But now you're also part of my household. I've made room for you." So when we become, or when we struggle, when you come into the household, we need to realize you stepped from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But when you move across from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, there's the transformation process that needs to take place. Amen? And so sometimes we need to get rid of certain things. And one of the things is an orphan spirit, where you feel like, "I'm intruding. I feel insecure. I don't really belong here." Okay? Where you have to strive for love. You can't tell me anything about that. When I was a young Bible school Christian, I strived like a champion. Okay? I was trying to earn acceptance, love through performance and through doing a lot of things, but still end up feeling empty because I didn't understand the love of the Father that He has for me. That I'm working from a place of emptiness, not from a place where I'm filled with His love. And then when I do something, that it comes, it bears it has a seed and a fruit connected to it. But when it's empty, we know what dead works does, right? So when we struggle with an orphan spirit, we do feel all those things. But this morning, God wants to say to you that you're not an orphan, that you need to stop trying to just survive. He says, "You are chosen. You are adopted into my family." He says, "You are placed into a family of believers where we grow together and you are deeply, deeply loved." David says it so well, is that "You knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. You were fearfully and wonderfully made." He says, even the frame of my body. He says, that's how intimately God knows us. Nobody else knows you like God does. That's why He's your creator. And so, when He says you're no longer strangers, but family, He says, when you step into that place of allowing people into your life, it's a moment where you stop living as an outsider, but you can start receiving the love of God as a son and a daughter. So don't join or be part of a family because you're looking for that love. But you join a family because there's something about God that is placed in you of acceptance that wants you to be part of something. And that you are born into it by grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 qualifies that. It says you are born by, or you are saved by grace, not by your own works. So, the tension we do feel though is that we have identity of family, like I said, but like visitors, but we feel like visitors. So we attend but never belong. So we need to ask ourselves, do I see myself as a consumer or a son and a daughter? Belonging starts with embracing who you really are. And Christ says you are his son and his daughter. The second thing that God calls us into is a fellowship where we share life. And that forms us into a family. Acts 2 verse 42, and this is the early church where it gives us such a good example. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And 1 Peter 3 verse 8, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters and be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Uncle Bernie said such a good thing this morning. A small little cup of gratitude always gives you a good attitude. Sounds like Uncle Bernie, eh? Thank you for that, Uncle Bernie. But he says, be humble in attitude. The church, it's not just a gathering this morning. It's not just a Sunday event. It's a fellowship. Biblical fellowship is more than just being friendly to one another and fake or religious. It's a shared life in Christ through relationship. It's knowing and being known. Allowing, getting to know people and people getting to know you. And then also be an encouraging person. And also be encouraged by other people. That's fellowship. It's two fellows in a ship, rowing in the same direction. And we need that synchronization. Listen, if you watch the Olympics and they've got the rowing on, those guys and girls that do those rowing competitions, they are in sync. And they fly. But the moment somebody misses a beat, it affects the whole team. But you know what's amazing? Is that they quickly get him back into rhythm. They quickly begin to count. That's why they count. That's why they've got somebody at the front. When they see somebody's getting tired, then they would begin to see and acknowledge that and say, come on, you on that side, let's go. There's an encourager always at the head. Jesus is standing there at the front and encouraging us to be in sync where we fellowship, where we go in the same direction all the time because that's its call for us. But you see, we cannot experience family if we feel distant. It's a call for us to become part of. Rows don't create family. And that's just sitting in a row here this morning. This is not creating family, okay? This is where we celebrate God, where we celebrate together. Yes, we are excited to be a church. We're excited to see one another after a week. But rows are important because they help us to worship together and receive the word together. But you can sit in every row every Sunday and still remain anonymous. Rows can inform you, but they do not automatically connect you. Circles do. Family is formed when we turn toward one another. Circles represent life groups, prayers, meals, mentoring, conversations, shared life. It can be any group. It can even be a prayer group. But it talks about a community of believers that come together And in circles, we don't just look at the back of someone's head like you're doing right now. But we face one another, listen to one another, pray for one another, and carry one another's burdens with each other. That's family. That's good. It should, that makes me want to be part of something, right? But I don't want to be outside of that. Because I've got first-hand experience of what it means to be part of something like that. Proximity leads to intimacy. You cannot experience a deep belonging from a distance. The more we share space, stories, burdens, prayer, the same mission, mandate that God's placed on us, the more trust grows between us. Closeness over time creates relationship, and relationship creates family. And that's why we grow by growing smaller and by doing life together in groups. Now, let me just pause for a second. All of us, first of all, in your physical family, have gone through some ups and downs and some hurt. Amen? Okay? What do you think makes spiritual family different? Just because they're not blood. In the spirit, because of the seed of Abraham, we are brothers and sisters. That's like blood. Because of the blood of Christ, we are connected. So, why do we get so easily offended by church? Why do we get so easily offended when somebody comes and tells us the truth? It's because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to walk and journey through it. What's different in family, in spiritual family? When you pick up something that's not right, makes you feel uncomfortable, or you don't agree with, you don't run to your friend and have a coffee and share. Okay? The Bible says, make right with your brother. So rather go and have a coffee with the person you're offended with and journey it through with them. That's what family does. If my boys do something and I am upset with them, because we all get upset with one another in family, right? I'm not going to ask him to go sleep on the lawn outside. He still has a place in my house. He's still an else. His identity doesn't change. His surname doesn't change. I still love him. My role as a dad is to correct him. A lot of the times when the boys have arguments, clap your face the eerste paar keer, okay? But I correct them and say, guys, this is not the way we do it. But I have to allow them to go through those things so that they can see what is right and what is wrong. What is good and what is not healthy. So that they can experience the love of God in their own lives and then extend that to one another. So when you have offense, don't let it grow in your heart. Don't put up that wall. Go and confront that with your brother or your sister. And then, I love it, Philippians 3, I'll never forget this. Forgive one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. Remember a bit of what Christ has forgiven us of. Remember the mistakes we've made. I say that because we so easily want to go into a life of pride, where we say, no, sorry, your problem is not mine. Okay? Humility. Then lastly, church is a flock. Okay? And this is where we are shepherded into a place of health and safety. Okay? John 10 verse 11 is, I am the good shepherd, for the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Family is not defined by a structure or a building. It doesn't hold its individual strength. A healthy church is gathered around Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who leads, protects, corrects, and restores his people. Amen? John 13, verse 34 to 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How do we love one another? It's a challenge. What does love look like towards one another? Because that becomes a testimony to the people out there that says, hey, what's so authentic about this group of people that I want to belong to? Because it should be authentic. Sheep on its own is vulnerable, but in a flock, the shepherd is there to care, to correct, to protect, and to direct. That's why belonging to a local church is not just an emotional decision, and it's not just an emotional comfort, but it's spiritual safety, which you can find. Love's not optional. It's evidence that we are being shepherded by Jesus and shaped into his likeness. And so, here at Oak Hill, the flavor is that we love and accept. We don't just want to love in words. And it's a continuous work that we do and try by the grace of God to get right. And we want to lay down our lives for one another just as Christ has laid down his life for us. We want to love and care deeply for one another. And we want to love enough to speak the truth and walk the journey. That's where we say we don't just say something and walk away, but we walk it out. So, the world's not impressed by programs. You'll notice the next generation is not impressed by our programs that we run. They are impressed and drawn to authenticity. How can we be authentic? How can we love authentically? We can only love authentically when we've experienced the love of God authentically for ourselves, when we encountered something about Christ that's so different, so personal, that it affects the attitude of my heart. It has transformed my mind and changed the way that I live. So, what does authentic love require? Vulnerability. Love cannot grow where everything is hidden. If we only smile and say, I'm fine, hey, manna. Okay, straks, niet ek. And keep people at a distance. Okay. We pray. We may be around each other, but we're not truly known by each other. Vulnerability means opening our lives, sharing our struggles, and allowing trusted people to see the real us. You cannot be deeply loved if you are never truly known. And again, vulnerability is sacred. We treat it with the utmost respect and confidentiality. We're not just going to throw around what's really deep inside you to anybody in front of us, right? But it's important that sometimes when the Holy Spirit leads us to do, that when somebody sits in your group, that they can see that these people aren't fake, they're real. That they actually struggle with the same things, but they call Christ into their situation. They speak life into the situation because of the Word of God that dwells richly within them. Love requires commitment. Love's not just a feeling. We know that. It's a decision to keep on showing up. Real love does not only appear when it's convenient or easy. Okay? But when I commit, I say, I'm here, I'm present, and I'm willing to walk this journey with you. Love requires to stay when it's hard. Come on. we've ever been in hard places and then people just want to run away and say, oh, jy's net te veel. No, love stays. If you really love somebody, you're going to stay. Christ doesn't run away from your life when it goes tough and when you go to the wayside. In fact, Holy Spirit's continuously convicting us of our righteousness in Him, our right standing. He didn't pay the price for nothing. He paid the price for you and for me so that we can belong. So, allow people into your life. Family is not perfect. Okay? But it's committed. Family commits. And so, I want to say to you this morning, last, is that when we have family, flock, and fellowship, we have that commitment, because commitment allows us to grow, sometimes when it's inconvenient. And lastly, I want to say this, is that, before that, I just want to read two scriptures, Ephesians 4:11-12, to prepare, we are yet, when we are shepherded, we are called to prepare God's people for the works of ministry, so that the body may be built up. But he says also in Hebrews 10:25, do not give up meeting together. This is important this morning, to be part of a church and to have a church celebration. But the difference between just visiting and being a member is commitment. So, I want to ask us this morning the following. God is calling us to belong. He's calling us to be connected. And He's calling us to be committed this morning. What are some practical next steps for us? If you don't know Jesus, it's a great opportunity to commit. But to commit to Jesus, get planted into His family and build relationships. The church is a family where we belong, a flock where we are shepherded, and a fellowship where we grow. You don't find your place by standing on the outside. You find it when you step in, stay in, and build with others. Amen? So this morning, I know this might be sore for some people. This might be good news for some people. It's different to every single body. But I want to encourage you this morning that God's calling us to be a family. God's calling us to belong. God doesn't want you to stand on the outside and just observe. He wants you to participate so that you can experience the fullness of what He has for you and your family. And so I want to pray for us this morning. And we also have a baptism this morning that we have. And I want to encourage you, if you want to get baptized, Pastor Grant's going to be in the water. You're welcome. There is some clothes here. But baptism is also a symbol of where you declare that I follow Jesus for my own life and I want to be part of His family. So you don't just get baptized just to lay the old life down and be raised into a new life, but you also say I want to belong into His family. So I want to just extend that invitation. So right there where you are, I just want to pray for us because there's a couple of people I want to pray for this morning. And I just want you to close your eyes and just focus on the Lord this morning. Lord, I want to thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You for Your presence this morning that's in this place. Thank You, first of all, that we know this morning that You are a loving Father who has sent Your Son to die for us and reconcile us back unto You in relationship. And because of Your Spirit that You've placed within us, Your Holy Spirit, we are now adopted, and through that we cry, Abba Father, Romans 8 says. And this morning we want to cry out to You, Father. I pray for every cry of every heart this morning for a family relationship to be restored. Father, I pray that You will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers, that there may be a relationship. I pray for people this morning that feel like an orphan this morning. We break the lie over the lives of people this morning that feel unwanted, rejected, and they feel unacceptable. I rebuke that lie this morning in Jesus' name, and I just want to speak your life over them. Break that orphan spirit in Jesus' name. There's no place for that in this place, but I pray your love, your acceptance, and I pray, Holy Spirit, won't you fill that space right now by which they can cry, Abba, Father. I pray for people that have been hurt by spiritual family, Father. I pray that we are here not because just of one another, but first of all, we want to recognize you build your church, and you are the one that leads and shepherds us. And so I pray this morning that we will have, that you will place within us a forgiveness towards any authority figure that might have hurt us. And that we will walk it out with you, Jesus, where we can come to a place of restoration and healing, where we realize family ain't perfect, but it's about commitment. And I pray for every family this morning. May you bless them. May you encourage them. And may they experience the goodness and the love of God that will chase them till the end of their days, Father, so that it may go well with them for generations to come, and that in families that you will establish something that will last for many, many generations to come, so that your glory may be displayed on earth through your family and your body. In Jesus' name, amen.